Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Vidura's Talks with Maitreya, Text 8. Yais Tatva Bedair Adiloka Nato Loka Aloka Saha Lokapala. Achiklipad Yatra hi sarva sattva nikaya bedo dikritaha pratitaha. Yais tattva vedaya adilokanato Lokana lokan saha lokapalan. Achiklapad yatra hi sarva sattva. Nikaya bedo dikrita pratita. Yais tattva bedhaya adilokanato. Lokana lokan saha lokapalan. Achiklapad yatra hi sarva sattva. Nikaya bedo dikrita pratita. Yais tattva bedaya adilokanato. Lokana lokan saha lokapalan. Achiklapad yatra hi sarva sattva. Nikaya bedo dikrita pratitaha. Yes, tattva. Lokana, lokana, lokapala. Sarva sattva. Nikaya veda vikita. Shiklapad yatri sarva sattva. Aya veda vikara vata. Aya veda vikara vata. Aya veda vikara vata. Yes, Tad Fabeda, Adi Lokanato. Lokana, Lokanta, Pahupala. Vaishnavis. Kaya Beda Bhagita Pratita Satva Beda Adilo Kanato Anukano Kapala Lokapato Ranavakansa Lokapala Chikapadya Trai Sarvasattva Kaya Beda Prakita Yai by whom Tattva truth Bedahai by differentiation Adilokanata the king of the kings Lokan planets Alokan planets of the lower region Saha along with Lokapalan respective kings Achiklupat planned Yatra wherein he certainly Sarva, all. Sattva, existence. Nikaya, living entities. Bedaha, difference. Adikritaha, occupied. Pratitaha, it so appears. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The Supreme King of all kings has created different planets and places of habitation where living entities are situated in terms of the modes of nature and work. And He has created their different kings and rulers. Purport. Lord Krishna is the chief king of all kings, and he has created different planets for all kinds of living entities. Even on this planet, there are different places for inhabitation by different types of men. There are places like deserts, ice lands, and valleys and mountainous countries. And in each of them, There are different kinds of men born of different modes of nature according to their past deeds. There are people in the Arabian deserts and in the valleys of the Himalayan mountains, and the inhabitants of these two places differ from one another, just as the inhabitants of the Icelands also differ from them. Similarly, there are different planets, the planets below the Earth, down to the Patala planet, are full of various kinds of living beings. No planet is vacant, as wrongly imagined by the modern so-called scientists. In Bhagavad Gita, we find it said by the Lord that the living entities are sarva gata, or present in every sphere of life. So there is no doubt that on other planets, there are also inhabitants like us, sometimes with greater intelligence and greater opulence. The living conditions for those of greater intelligence are more luxurious than on this earth. There are also planets where no sunlight reaches, and there are living entities who must live there due to their past deeds. All such plans for living conditions are made by the Supreme Lord, and Vidura requested Maitreya to describe this for the sake of further enlightenment. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this verse and purport, the different living situations of the conditioned souls who are scattered throughout this universe are being mentioned and described. Srila Prabhupada points out that even on this planet or even in this city, there are different living situations for different types of beings. Like in Los Angeles, you have Beverly Hills and places like that. And then you have places that are a lot less comfortable, you know, in different neighborhoods. So the same arrangement is there for the whole planet. Srila Prabhupada describes in the purports the deserts, the Icelands, and the valleys and the mountainous country. So in my travels and in my life, I've lived in these different places. I lived in Iceland when I was in the Navy for a couple of years, so I got to experience that, the Icelands. Our family also lived in a desert area, El Paso, Texas. There was an Air Force base there my father was stationed at. So it's a desert country, and you know, sometimes you get wind storms and you know, sandstorms come, and you know, you feel the sand stinging against your face, you know, and you can't see anything hardly. So I've lived in the desert areas. Just recently I was at Mount Shasta in Northern California, where you know, I was speaking at a conference. And there it's mountainous. You know, this huge mountain, ice-covered mountain is up there. So there are all these different situations on this planet that people live in according to their karma, their past activities, and the arrangements made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then there are not only different places on this planet, but on other planets as well. You know, there are the planets of the demigods where their lives are much longer than ours on this planet, and they have greater facility for material enjoyment. And then there are planets where the sun doesn't shine, you know, the subterranean planets below Bhumandala. Those are described in especially the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So all these planets are inhabited. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada's mentioning that, you know, the so-called scientists, they, you know, think that this is the only planet that is inhabited. But in the Vedic universe, which is a consciousness-based universe, all the planets are inhabited. This is something that some modern scientists are beginning to accept. You know, the idea that there might be intelligent life elsewhere in the universe. It's kind of a step in the direction of the information that's presented to us in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the other Vedic literatures. And for the past week, I was at a conference on the science of consciousness. It was held near Tucson, Arizona. And one of the scientists that spoke there was a man named Avi Loeb. And he is head of the astronomy department at Harvard University. And he's concluded that there must be intelligent life elsewhere in the universe, and that we've even been visited by these intelligent life forms. And he caused quite a stir in the scientific world when he said that an asteroid that passed through our solar system might be a probe from some intelligent civilization in some other part of our galaxy, some other part of our universe. And he was saying it's likely that they're more intelligent than we are, you know, these other life forms. So it's kind of interesting how some scientists in their own way are beginning to understand things in the way that the Bhagavatam explains them. So, but we also have to keep in mind something that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punarvartana Arjuna. In the material universe, from the highest planet down to the lowest, they're all places of misery where there's birth, death, old age, and disease. Janma Mrityu Jaravyadhi Dukkha Dosh Anudarshanam. It's explained. These things are present. An intelligent person will see that no matter what one's situation, one may be living in Beverly Hills or East L.A. or wherever, but birth, death, old age, and disease are confronting everyone, no matter what their position is, whether one is the highest demigod or living in the lower planetary systems that, you know, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning in the purport and are mentioned in the verse as well. No matter where one's living in the material world, the situation is temporary and full of misery. Anityam asukam lokam. It's described in the Bhagavad Gita. So these different planetary systems are there. There's Swargaloka, Bhuloka, and Patalaloka. And there's this basic division of the material universe in three different areas. The heavenly material planets inhabited by the demigods and higher sages. And then there's the Martyaloka, the earthly planetary systems where life is very short. And then there are the lower planetary systems as well. And where one resides is basically decided by what one believes and what one values and worships. Yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yantri pitri vritaha bhutani yanti bhutejya yanti madhyajinopi mam. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, the worshippers of the demigods, they go to the planets of the demigods. The worshippers of the Pitris, the forefathers, go to the planet of the forefathers. Those who worship the ghosts and demons, they go to the planets of the ghosts and the demons. And Krishna says, finally, and those who worship me come to my abode. And Krishna explained to Arjuna, Mamupetya Tukanteya Punarjanma Navidyate. Those who go to my abode, the spiritual abode, the transcendental world, the Vaikuntha world, the central planet of which is Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna's eternal spiritual planet, those who go there, they do not experience birth and death. Everything there is eternal. Na tad basite suryo na shashanka na pavaka yadgadva ranivartante tad dhamma paramam mama. So, Krishna says, those who attain that abode, they don't come back to this material world and undergo that cycle of birth and death. So an intelligent person will try to achieve that goal. Tasyevaheto prayateta kovido nalabhyate nalabhyate yad brahmatamu pariyada. An intelligent person will aspire and work to achieve this goal, which you can't find by going anywhere in the material universe from the higher to the lower planetary systems. So this life of eternality, knowledge, and bliss, Satchitananda Vigraha, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha, Krishna and Krishna's abode and Krishna's eternal associates, which we aspire to, a position that we aspire to achieve, they're Satchitananda Vigraha. They're experiencing eternality, knowledge, and ananda. So this is the goal that's worth striving for. And our efforts should be in that direction. So this word loka, here it's being used in the sense of planet, but it also means the people who inhabit those planets, the people. So sometimes in Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, loka is used in the sense of location, and loka is also used to refer to the people or the population that lives in a certain location. We get our word location from this. So these locations and the types of the different kinds of living entities are both arranged by the Supreme Lord for a purpose. As Srila Prabhupada was mentioning, there's a plan. It's not that we're accidental beings in an accidental universe, as some so-called philosophers and scientists believe. Of course, that attitude is described in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Asatyam Apratishtam Te Jagat Ahur Anishvaram. You know, they think we're living in an accidental universe. There's no purpose to it. So there is a purpose. There is a plan for this universe. And if we understand that and we live in harmony with that plan that Krishna has made, then our human lives are successful. But if we ignore the plan, if people just proceed in their own way, then you know they make a mess of things and they don't achieve the goal, the real goal of life, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna arranges for different places of residence for the living entities. He has a plan, and he also has the plans for the different kinds of material bodies. But he executes this plan through his assistants. He doesn't become directly involved in all the details of that. So in each universe, there is a Brahma. And Brahma is a post, and it can be occupied by different souls if they're qualified. And if there's no one qualified, Krishna will take the position. But in our universe, there's a Brahma who is a soul like us, but a very qualified soul. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that Narada Muni inquires from Brahma how he creates all the different bodies and all the different planets where conditioned souls in different types of bodies can reside. And Brahma explains to him, actually, I'm just taking the information and the plans supplied by someone else. Because Narada Muni had said to him, said to Brahma, there appears to be someone beyond you who is responsible for the creation of the different kinds of bodies and planets, different lokas. So Brahma said, yes, actually there is somebody superior to me who has given me the intelligence and the materials to carry out, you know, this plan. You know, just like somebody may go to a carpenter and say, I want a table like this, and provide the material and the plan, and the carpenter just executes. So Brahma is like that. Krishna provides the ingredients, all the elements to be used in the creation. And he also provides the plans. And Brahma is simply the engineer who executes. There is, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are described the primary creation and the secondary creation. The primary creation involves the creation of all the ingredients for the planetary systems and bodies in the universe. And then Brahma and his demigod assistants carry out the secondary creation. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that part of that creation is the lower planetary systems, where he says there are different kinds of living entities. So there are those planets, Atala, Sutala, Vitala, Talatala, finally Patala. And there are different categories of living entities. There are great many-headed serpents who live there. There are, well, there's even Bali Maharaj lives on Sutala, where he was sent. And Krishna, in his form as Vamana, acts as his doorkeeper there. And then on one of those planets, Shiva and his consort are living, and there are demons that live there. There's Maya Danava, the engineer of the Asuras. He lives in these lower planetary systems. But the main point is we don't want to remain in these material planetary systems, even the highest ones, because even the planets of the demigods are temporary and we want to go back home, back to Godhead. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Suvas.
Thank you for a really nice class. As you were speaking, I just kind of thought about the different places that so many living entities are. And it's such a, you know, a rare situation for them to ever get out of that particular situation that they're in. I mean, you know, you have somebody like Prabhupada, and, well, you know, he came from India, he came to America, and he spread the Krishna conscious movement, really. But there's places in this planet that some people are living that will never see the light of day. And I was thinking, if Lord Brahma is the engineer of all this creation, it appears that he takes a real passive role in terms of what happens in the material world.
Yeah, I had that question yesterday, you know, during the class, you know, if Krishna's protecting, always protecting the cows, the Brahmins, and the demigods. Why, you know, do we see that sometimes the demons take over the whole universe? They conquer the demigods and drive them out of their planets. And, you know, you get a king like King Vena, or somebody suppresses the Brahmins, or at the time Krishna appeared, you know, the fires of sacrifice had stopped, and look at what's happening to the cows today. But ultimately, you know, we always see that, okay, the demigods may be removed from their kingdom, you know, their kingship, their lordship over their heavenly material planets. But then, ultimately, because Krishna's in charge, like Bali Maharaj, he conquered all the demigods, defeated them. And then Krishna came in the form of Vaman and took everything back and put Bali Maharaj in the Sutala planets. And then when the Brahmins are persecuted, then Krishna comes. What does he say? Parachanaya sadhanam vinashaya chudushkritam. He comes to protect the devotees, the Brahminical culture in particular, and the cows. So everyone will get their proper result. You know, we may not understand exactly how it will happen. Like, we read these descriptions in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how those who are involved in killing animals, especially the cow, the whole conspiracy will have to suffer, will suffer for it, the whole conspiracy. You know, that means those who transport it, those who sell it, those who actually do the killing, those who eat it, they're all going to be vanquished and experience the reactions to their activities. So it can be puzzling, but ultimately there is a supreme controller. Krishna is ultimately in charge, and he will sort everything out eventually. And yeah, we see that.
Hare Krishna. I was thinking about this today, about, you know, the situation with the cows. And although a lot of people in this time are, you know, taking more responsibility for not participating in the mistreatment of cows by becoming vegan, at the same time, if there's no alternative or no other example, then cows would become obsolete, or will become more obsolete, in the same way, for instance, like if you go back in history 200 years in this country or all over the planet, there were literally billions and billions of horses, donkeys, and other kinds of animals that did the labor for us, and transportation, for moving anything that needed moving, for doing any kind of building. All these animals were in demand, and so the population of these creatures was huge. And if you look now, I was asking Sachi if he knew, because we could maybe look it up on the internet, what's the population of horses in 2022, or the population of donkeys? And similarly, cows, you know, with this vegan movement, and now the scientists are hopping on that because they can produce this funky imitation meat out of kind of low-class food like soya and what's the other thing they use? Soya and something else. Anyway, these strange things. Corn, yeah, GMO corn, and create food stuff for the dull-brained people who would eat it. You know, the cow could be in a different type of a threat also. Like, we're seeing that meat eating is a huge threat, but also if more people become vegan, then the cow is threatened from another side. And I'm just wondering how we could address that, because obviously we want to see more cow protection and more people protecting cows. And yeah, I think I said everything.
Well, there's nothing but good can happen if we follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And that's not always easy. You know, like if we make a complete list of all Srila Prabhupada's desires and wishes and, you know, for things that we do, we could probably, and we make a checklist and see as a movement if we've done or accomplished everything that Srila Prabhupada said he wanted accomplished, we'd probably find that as a movement we've fallen short on some things. So it's helpful to keep those things in mind. Like, for example, I'm part of a project, you know, connected with the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, which is something that Srila Prabhupada wanted but hasn't completely manifested yet. So, you know, we should keep in mind he did stress a number of things, like connected with cow protection and demonstration, varnashram, rural communities, and you know, we can make a list of things that he wanted accomplished, that we may have made some small attempts to satisfy, but there still remains a lot to be done. And I think there are a lot of things like that, both in terms of what he wanted us to achieve individually as representatives of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, in terms of our personal character and things like that. There are a lot of things he said we should do that perhaps we haven't done. And as collectively as a movement, there are also some things that remain to be accomplished. So that gives future generations of devotees and many devotees today something to aspire for. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Step by step.